Well, praise God. Are you glad to be in church this morning? Come on, talk to me a little bit here. Let me know you're alive out there. Okay, well, get your Bibles out. And if you would go to the book of, where are we going to go? Let's try Mark chapter 10, start out with, possibly get there. Now, I have been teaching, preaching, whatever you want to call it, for months now on the same message, and I like that. How many of y'all in here can tell me what you are?
VIP.
Man, I must be doing something good. Listen, you are VIPs. You are children of the Most High God. You are very important people. If Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of your life, man, all of heaven is for you, and you're a VIP. You have a VIP ticket. Don't forget about this. You have a VIP ticket that you can just walk up into the face of the world and everything going on and say, wait a minute, I'm a VIP. Get out of my way. It's not a VIP ticket to use for arrogance. It's not one to use for, showmanship. But it's what we got to understand, church, is the privilege you have as a child of God, the promises of God that are yours, and that you got to walk in them. And if you don't walk in them, if you do not know who you are in Christ, if you don't walk in the promises, you're going to lose. And I don't see any of y'all lose. Amen? I don't like to lose. Never have liked to lose. Do y'all? I like to win. Winning feels good. I gave you this example, and I just want to remind you again, I was blessed this year with some rodeo tickets to San Antonio Stock Show and Rodeo, and I didn't really understand what they were when I got them, and they were given to me, and I never really paid much attention. And so I'm the kind of guy that just wanders into a place and then tells my wife, well, where are we, I know how to get to the building and where we go from here, And so we're going through looking at the numbers and trying to find it. We find the place, and we get to this section, and I really didn't pay much attention to my ticket. And I got to this section, and there was just, the front row stuff was down there, and there were some steps going down, and there was a lady, and you could tell she was serious about her job. She was guarding that gate. And I walked up there, and she's like this, can I see your ticket, please, sir? And I was like, yeah, here's my ticket. And so I showed it to her, and so she's looking, and I maybe I was just self-conscious, I don't know, but I felt like she was looking at me like I belong in the cheap seats. That was the impression from her face I got, like, you have no right nor privilege to be here. And when she looked at my ticket, then all of a sudden her eyes fell, and she was like, I had the VIP section. She didn't know it. I didn't know it. And so she looked at the ticket and said, oh, excuse me, sir. I mean, her attitude changed in a second. She said, your seat's right down here. And I said, yeah, give me my ticket. Then I caught on. Listen, man, I got this ticket, man. I walked around that thing, through that thing in everybody's face. I showed them, here's my ticket, here's my seat. And I didn't walk anywhere without my ticket because I wanted to be able to, apparently they like to throw me out of there. And so I wanted to be able to flip that thing. So here's my seat, okay? Now, folks, that's the way we're supposed to walk as children of God. You're going to be faced with adversities in life. Things are going to happen. Things are going to come. Quit thinking that you're going to get into a place in life that you're never going to have any problems. If you get there, well, then I think you probably have just lost your mind and you don't know what's happening. Hello? Y'all out there? You're going to have adversity. There's going to be problems. There's going to be tribulation. Jesus said it, but he said, be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. In other words, be of good cheer. You've got a VIP seat. Be encouraged because you have a VIP. You have covenants and promises. And if you understand and can operate and walk in the things of God, you will see victory and success in your life. So we've been preaching on this. Let me preach on what you got the power as a VIP for. I don't even know how many I've gone through right now. But we've been talking these last few weeks about faith. And that faith inside of you, the Bible says that if you produce faith in your heart, salvation comes. Hello? People don't get saved because they join a church. People get saved because they produce faith in their heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then therefore it changes everything in their life. Now, we live in a world today that you are confronted more with atheism and and you know, liberalism and all these things that are out there more than you ever have before in life. All right? And you're confronted all the time that we Christians are just, you know, oh, stick in the muds, sourpusses that really, you know, don't have any fun and can't get anything done in life. When the reality is, it's exactly the opposite. Now, I hate to use these examples, but they're so perfect, and I know that you saintly people know what I'm talking about. I mean, no matter what you're doing, if you're playing golf, you're playing football, you're playing any sport, one of your best advantages is trash talk. Come on now. Don't act like you've never trash talked before. Some of your best deal is about the time you're going to go swing, you know, you get that little bit of trash talk going, you know, and it breaks the person's confidence, breaks their concentration, breaks their confidence for long. They can be a great golfer, but if you can talk trash enough, then, you know, they're going to lose that confidence in their swing, and they're going to hook it, slice it, you do whatever, right? Well, that's what the devil is trying to do to you. He's trying to trash talk you in life to get you out of walking in the covenants and promises of God. He's trying to come into you from whatever's been said in this life to you. He's by you know, and just, you know, you just love me this morning, forgive my speech, but just stupid people saying stupid things. You know, they go feed at the trough of stupid every morning and then spread that mess out everywhere. Somebody's told you in life you're not going to make it. Somebody told you in life you don't stand a chance. Somebody's told you you're stupid or you're whatever, and that's stuck in your brain. It just keeps going over and over again inside your head. That's trash talk from the devil. And what we have to live by is we have to live by faith. Now, a lot of times as crazy charismatics, you know, we get out there talking about faith as something to just get you something. You know, it's what your prayers. You're going to produce faith. You're going to speak. You're going to have faith, and so you can bring this in. But listen, faith is the essence of who you are. All right? Look, let's read this story here. In Mark chapter 10, verse 46, you got this great story of blind Bartimaeus. And it starts and says, and now they came to Jericho, and he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting on the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Okay, he couldn't see him because he's blind. Y'all with me? He's sitting on the side of the road begging. It was his profession. He was a professional beggar because he was blind. He couldn't earn a living. So the only opportunity he had, the only chance he had in life was to sit on the side of the road and hope somebody had enough charity to give to him to help him out in life, right? But he heard. Everybody say heard. It says he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming by. All right? Now, apparently, he had been hearing about Jesus, right? Because how else could he have known it's Jesus of Nazareth? But at that moment, when he heard that it was Jesus coming by, his faith got motivated. His faith got sparked. Maybe, I don't know. I'm painting with a big brush here, and, you know, we get to heaven, we'll find out. And if I'm wrong, y'all can just say, well, Robert, you're wrong. But it really preaches good. That, you know, he had heard this, and he had begun to think about, oh, wouldn't it be great if Jesus would come down the road someday? Oh, I hear that Jesus is doing miracles. Oh, I hear that Jesus is opening blind eyes. Whoa, wouldn't it be great? Oh, God, send Jesus down this road here. You know, maybe, let's just say he was a good charismatic, and he was just praying, oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, just command Jesus come down this road right now. Ah, I'm telling you right now, pff, da, da, yeah, in the name of Jesus. Ah. Threw in a little Pentecostal on top of that, you know, trying to really get stirred up, you know, exercising his faith, just really trying to call him in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I command Jesus to come down that road. I don't know, but, you know, like I said, he was doing something because the minute he heard that Jesus coming down the road, in other words, at that moment, he thought, if I can just get his attention, if I can just get hold of him, if I can just arrest him at that moment, my problem's going to be solved. So he says, he began to cry out and said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, again, I can't prove this, don't know this, but you know what? Everyone was expecting, a Jewish person was expecting the Messiah to come someday. Okay, it's almost like a, you know, almost like a, what do you call it? Not a fairy tale, but a traditional story that was always told, you know, around that the Messiah is going to come. One day the Messiah is going to come. They sit down and eat and say, well, things are tough today, but that's okay. One day the Messiah is going to come. He's going to come. He's going to deliver us. It was prophesied, like you can go over to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and you can talk about where the Messiah was coming. He was going to be a son of David. So maybe Bartimaeus heard this all his life. Maybe Bartimaeus had this root down on the inside of him that the Messiah is coming someday and he will deliver us. So Bartimaeus, when he knows that Jesus come by, he begins to shout, scream, holler. He's getting excited. So then many of him told him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more. I want to tell you something. This world wants to tell you to be quiet as a Christian. This world wants to tell you to take back seat and be quiet. You know, you're just, you can't, don't do that. I've had people come to me before and say, listen, you can't, don't give people faith because then if it doesn't happen, they're going to be like, no. I said, well, what if it does? My goodness. I believe the Bible's true. And I believe prayers are answered. And I believe God has a way. And though we don't understand it, sometimes God's still working and moving and flowing. And don't tell me not to stir people's faith. That's my job. Are y'all with me? And the world wants to say, no, shh, shh, be quiet, shh, be quiet. You know, be a reserved Christian. If you're going to be a Christian, just be a reserved Christian. Be a quiet Christian. Just you know, go to church, you know, do your deal, but just be quiet about it. You know, you don't want to make anybody else feel uncomfortable. You know, you can't bring this Jesus stuff into the workplace because somebody might not believe it'll make them, uncomfortable, and you don't want to do that. Well, I'll tell you what, I believe it's time for people to get uncomfortable. And if they're uncomfortable, they're uncomfortable with my Jesus, not really me. Hello? Now, I've seen some people promote the gospel in a way that I didn't feel like was really tactful, but I want to tell you something. We need to be people who speak forth what our faith is. Hello? So he cries out. He cries out more. People tell him to be quiet. He cries out more. He just gets louder and louder. He just up there shouting. He just says, Jesus! I mean, just imagine this scene. Here's this crazy blind man. Jesus! I didn't even ever see me. And everybody's like, shh, get the fuck out. Make him be quiet. He's just letting it rip. So finally, you know, Jesus said he stood still. And he commanded him to be called. And then he called the blind man saying, be of good cheer. Yeah, see, now they're all for him. Sorry, bunch of dogs, man. Now they're all for him, you know. First they're over there telling him, be quiet, about to hit him in the head and gag him. And now they're all like, oh, be of good cheer, you know. Rise, he's calling you. Now right here, I believe Bartimaeus' miracle took place. It says, throwing aside his garment. Beggars in those days had garments that they had to wear. It was a beggar's robe. You basically went to the beggar office, got your license to beg, and they gave you a beggar's robe, okay? So that you were a bona fide, certified beggar. I don't know if they checked you out to see if you were blind, deserved to be a beggar, or what. I don't know how it really worked, but you got a beggar's robe, a beggar's garment. So when somebody saw you and they wanted to give some money, they said, oh, well, he's a certified beggar. We can give him some money. He's not faking it. So he threw that robe off. He said, I don't need this thing anymore, man. I got hold of the master. I've got the Son of God here. I got the Messiah. I got the one that's going to bring me my victory. I got the one that's going to bring me, you know, the promise right here. And so why do I have to, I don't need this robe anymore. All right. So he goes up and he says, so Jesus answered and said, what do you want me to do for you? Now, I always thought that was interesting. He's blind. That seemed like an obvious one, right? But I guess he could have said, Lord, can you find me somebody that'll give me money the rest of my life so I don't have to beg? I mean, I guess he could have asked her something different. So Jesus wanted to know, what's in your heart? And so he says, Rabbi, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said, go your way. Look at that. Whose faith? I say, your faith? Go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. You see, Bartimaeus had heard, maybe he went to church, maybe he was a church-going beggar, I don't know. But he knew what Isaiah 9:6 said, that the Messiah was coming, the Son of God was coming. So at that moment in life, his faith, what he really truly believed on the inside of him, came out. And that's the challenge to us today. What do we really believe? And if what you say you really believe, can you be talked out of it? And if you can be talked out of it, you don't really believe it. Hello? If you don't really believe it, you can't be, you'll be talked out of it. If the world challenges you and comes in your face, so then folks, I want to tell you something. You don't really have faith. You're not really walking in faith. So we want to know, what is faith? Well, faith is what you really, truly, 100% believe. It's what, it. According to James chapter 2, faith propels you to do something. Faith has action to it. So, if you really believe that praying over your meal is important, then you're going to say grace no matter what. If you're sitting in a restaurant and everybody's looking at you, you're going to say grace. It doesn't make any difference to you. This is what you believe. If you don't really believe it, you know, reminds me of the story when that time we were in the Ukraine as a Pastor Randy, and we were sitting in the Ukraine and we were outside of Kiev, and we were eating at this pastor's house, and he had borscht. You know, they're always eating that borscht, man. And I could do the borscht because it's just boiled cabbage, you know, with some potatoes in it. If they just wouldn't throw that big old dollop of sour cream in the middle of it. I don't much on sour cream. And that thing was there, and I had to eat it. Didn't want to offend them. And I was trying to work my way around that sour cream. And the pastor said, let's say the blessing. And so, of course, he's saying this in Russian, you know, and Ukrainian. And so they say, well, you know, let the guests say. And he turned to, you know, Pastor Randy and said, say the blessing. And so, you know, it was a nice little lay me down to sleep blessing, you know. Just kind of like when anybody just, you know, a little old something, oh, let's bless. Thank you, Lord, for this day, and just ask you to bless this food and let it be nourishing into our bodies in Jesus' name. Amen. And as soon as he said amen, that Ukrainian pastor said, good, now the radiation won't hurt us. And I said, ho, 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 ho. That ain't near good enough prayer for me if I'm going to be eating radiated borscht. So then it was like, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. I mean, I prayed. Man, there was faith stirred in me. That's going to kill me. Man, I quoted, you know, Mark 16, no deadly thing's going to hurt me in the name of Jesus, you know. I mean, my prayer changed when I knew there was radiated cabbage you're eating. But you see, it's what's on the inside of it. What you really believe is what's going to propel you in life. It determines everything. It determines really who you are. It determines who you are. And I don't know about you, but I'm sick of everybody trying to tell me who I need to be. I'm sick of everybody trying to tell me as a Christian how I need to act. Shh, shh, shh. Just be a calm Christian. Don't be a radical Christian. You know, them Bible quoting Christians. I mean, just read your Bible, read it at home. You know, don't die. I like clinging to my Bible and my guns. Are y'all with me here? You cannot let this world determine who you are. All right? Ask yourself right now, what are you letting determine who you are? What's determining your life right now? Peer pressure? Society? I mean, folks, I'm not talking about being some, you know, I'm not talking about being some crazy lunatic. You know, you don't need to put on a bed sheet and get one of those family-sized Bibles and a tambourine to go out and be a Christian. Hello? You don't have to, you know, walk around carrying a lamb. If you're walking around carrying a lamb, there's something wrong with you anyway. Sheep stink. But there is something wrong with you compromising your faith in the face of adversity. Hello? There is something wrong with you being backed off of what you really know to be true and you giving up on it. There comes a time that each and every one of us, okay, we have to do what 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 says, we can't lose heart. You can't lose heart. Even though your outward man is perishing, yet your inward man is being renewed day by day. You have to renew your inward man. You have to strengthen yourself. Listen, that's why I put this book together, Praying the Word. Okay, they're back there. They're free. Pick them up. Nobody should be able to not have this. It's just nothing but scripture about who you are and what God says about you and the promises of God that you can just read, because you have to renew yourself, because if you don't, listen, you're losing word every day, whether you realize it or not. Something is trying to steal it from you every day. And if you're not replacing it, if you're not renewing yourself day by day, well, folks, you're going to get discouraged. You're going to get tired. You're going to get disillusioned. And you just want to say, I just want to give up. And I'm going to tell you something. You're not weak because of that. You're just not renewing yourself. The Bible says, man, you know, the righteous man falls seven. The righteous man fails seven times. Yeah, but he got up and he dusted his breeches legs off and he went on. You're going to face adversities. Things are going to come against you. But unless you're loaded down on the inside of you with word, promises, knowing what the scripture says, you are going to be defeated. If you got enough word on the inside of you and adversity comes against you, you're like a machine gun. Word comes flying out of your mouth. When you say, there, take a little of that. How's that taste, Mr. Devil? You've got to be renewed. Listen to me. And we're all different people, and you have to figure it out how. Okay? Maybe you need to go back and watch. Go to thewaterhole.net and watch the services again. Turn on the radio and listen to the services again. Find you music, this, whatever it takes to get the Word of God down on the inside of you. But you cannot live in this life, walk in this life, come to church on Sunday morning, and expect to live till next Sunday without putting Word in you and not be defeated. Church, we're in a war. We're in a battle. I've always said that if I was actually in a battle, in a war, my biggest problem would be that I couldn't run because I'd have so many shells on me. I'd want every magazine, a clip of ammo that I could get on me, because I don't want to run out of shells. I'm not worried about shooting and hitting something. I'm just worried about not having nothing to shoot. Are y'all with me? So I'm trying to run with, you know, 700 pounds of ammo on my back because I just kind of fell down and get me another clip, you know? Are y'all with me? Well, I'm the same way about the Word. I don't want to be caught off guard. I want Word, ample Word on the inside of me. Because the devil sure is shooting every morning. He sure is telling me every morning I'm not going to make it. He sure is telling me every day that I'm not going to, you know, walk in victory and success, and that this is going to be bad and that's going to be bad and this is going to happen. That's going to happen. He's always there telling me that. Man, all you got to do is flip on the radio. My goodness, just listen to the radio and what's going on. We'll get you so discouraged that you just want to go home, go back to bed. We're in a time right now in this world that there is a spirit loosed in us, in this world. There's a spirit loosed upon us. And I mean, You listen to the radio, you do not hear anything good. Everything is bad. Hello? And it just keeps getting worse. It just keeps getting crazier. All right? It says, our light affliction is but for a moment. He calls it light affliction. Is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Folks, if you get your eyes off the eternal thing called the Word of God, you're going to be swept away. But God. The world throws its news to you and you say, yeah, but God. But God. He can do this. But my God says. Hello? That's why you get tired. That's why you get disillusioned. That's why you get discouraged. It's because you don't have enough word in you to counteract the amount of bad word coming towards you. Hello? Another story you can turn to it if you want to, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 13. The story of Elijah and Elisha. You know, Elijah was the man of God, the prophet of God, called fire down from heaven, you know, was a great prophet of God. And he had his servant, Elisha. And Elisha served Elijah faithfully. And while he served him, he watched and he observed. And he looked at what was going on. He saw what worked and what didn't work. Y'all with me? Folks, listen to me. You need to find and hang around people who have got faith and that are walking in faith and seeing victory and success in their life. If they're not walking in faith, or they say they're walking in faith and you don't see any victory in their life, you need to get away from them because what they're doing isn't working. I'm not saying adversity, because we all have adversity. I'm saying if somebody doesn't have success in their life, then you, listen, why are you learning from them? Hello? I want to learn from people that have succeeded, that have victory, have success. We've got a time period right now going on also in the world where the old generals of the Christian faith are they're going on to heaven. Because they're old. I mean, ain't no, they're just old. Because there's a generation of generals that are going out, and there's a new generation rising, and I'm looking to say, you know, who's the next Billy Graham? Who's going to be the next Charles Capps? Who's going to be the next, Kenneth Hagin? Who's going to be the next person, man of God of faith? Who's going to be the next Lester Sumrall? Who's going to be these guys that through hardships and went around the world and overcame adversities and preached the Word of God no matter what, in season, out of season, no matter what happened? Who's going to take their place? And if I'm looking, because I'm going to say, who's going to be the one standing up there? Hello? But Elisha watched Elijah. And in verse 13, it's 2 Kings 2:13, it says that when Elijah was taken up, it says, he took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah, which had fallen from him, and he struck the water, and he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? I love that. I mean, this guy, he goes, takes up the mantle. He didn't want to get his feet wet. That's all it was. He just didn't want to get his feet wet. Takes him in like, where's the Lord God of Elijah? The water parts. To the best of my knowledge, I don't think Elijah ever parted water. I haven't found it. If I missed it, you can send me a letter and tell me where it was. But I haven't found that Elijah parted water. But Elisha, seeing who Elijah was, his faith had grown and his faith had gotten stirred. If you go look at the Bible, Elisha did more miracles than Elijah did anyway. But that confidence came upon Elisha because he had figured it out. The mantle represents the anointing upon the man's life. Now that anointing is upon my life, and I can walk in it in power and effectiveness. And so he learned, which stirred his faith, which then he exercised and did greater works than Elijah did. Listen to me, you need to be better than your parents. You need to not be living on your mother's faith. You need to be better than your mother. Sorry, moms, don't get mad, but I'm just saying. I want my children to be better than me. I want them to go farther than I have gone. And I want them to teach their children to be better than they were. And I want them to just, you know, to go farther and walk in more faith and have more revelation than me. The other day I was complaining about something. My son sent me a scripture. I laughed. That's a good one. I'm sitting back. That's a good one. Set me straight. That's what the word says. I'm like, you're right. I want that in life. Folks, listen to me. You can't just come to a place. Listen, Jesus did not put us on this earth just to get saved and go to heaven. I'm sorry. He didn't do that. He didn't just give you the VIP, get past, go to heaven card and get up there and walk to the pearly gates. That's it. And live your life down here on earth as long as you wanted to and do the best you could. No. He gave us Jesus so that we could walk in victory and success and then take everybody that we can to heaven with us. All right? I said this before. This earth is not a playground. It's a schoolyard. We're supposed to be learning. We're not supposed to just be playing around. We're supposed to be learning and growing and helping others and teaching others and blessing others. Tell somebody, you ought to not be saying that. You need to know what the Word of God says. Amen? Okay. You know, you come to this place in life of what you believe, okay? And what you believe in your faith is what's going to determine your whole life. But you have to look at yourself and say, what do I really believe and what am I really willing to fight for? I've learned in life, pick your wars. If you just go out and try to defeat everything around you, at one time, you're going to get too many wars going on, too much chaos going on, and basically you will not be able to keep all the troops fed. But if you pick your wars and say, this is what I believe, this is what I'm fighting for. That's what happened with the early apostles when they wrote the Apostles' Creed. They came to this place and said, what do we really believe? And so they sat down and they wrote the Apostles' Creed. Well, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. You see what I'm saying? I believe in the Son of God. I believe in the resurrection. I believe in baptism. They wrote these things down to what they really, truly believed in life and were willing to fight for. I've learned in life, one of the tactics of the enemy is to get and invade churches and get them fighting on things that really make no difference. How you dress, how you talk, what you do. You know, like I said, the mortal sins, no drinking, dancing, or smoking. And major on that. Well, you can be a heathen, cheating, you know, whatever, and that was okay, but just don't do any of those outward things. And I'm just saying, It's a tactic of the enemy to get in there and get you to fighting things that don't really make any difference. And what I'm telling you is we are in a time right now that we need to know what is in our life and what do we believe and what's worth fighting for. Like, for instance, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross. I believe he arose from the dead. I believe he is the Son of God, and I believe that he can forgive my sins. Right? Okay. I'm not going to get in a debate over when he's coming back. I'm not going to get in a debate on how heaven looks. I'm not going to get in a debate on the size of mansions and streets of gold, and are they solid, or are they paved, or none of that kind of bull. I don't have any. I got enough battles to fight to not deal with that. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit on the face of this earth. I believe in the Holy Spirit moving and working in lives, and I believe that whenever we produce faith, God moves. All right? And somebody can say to me, well, prove it. And I say, look, I can't prove it. I just know what has happened on the inside of me. My proof is me. You know, I've been told that, I can be a little brash, a little, I don't really believe that. I think I'm the easiest, nicest, sweetest guy on the face of the earth. But, you know, you never know what's on the inside of you until you're squeezed. And when you get squeezed, then you know what comes out of you. And years ago, and some of you have heard this story before, but years ago, we were in Africa and we were building a Bible school over there, and we were helping this guy out in the middle of the Kalahari Desert, and it's hot, blasted snakes everywhere, and spiders the size of your head, and, you know, stinging scorpions around that kill you and everything, and we were lions roaring at night, and it was so hot. It was hotter in South Texas, if you can believe it. And it was so hot that in the evenings, we couldn't go into our rooms because the rooms, they didn't have air conditioning, and it was just so hot. It was just stifling in there. And so there was this open courtyard, and we were sitting out there, and we were just trying to just, you know, drink cool water and just wait till as long as we couldn't stand it anymore, and then finally go in there and go to bed. But it was this courtyard was right beside the bar in the hotel. And this guy came out of the bar, and he was drunk, and he staggered his way over there, and we were all sitting at a table, and I was sitting towards the end, and the guy comes over there and pulls up his chair and sits down and says, what are y'all doing here, you know? And he was a local. And I said, well, we're here helping a man out here build a Bible school. What? Bunch of Christians, huh? And I said, yes, sir, I'm a Christian. And he said, all Christians are just simple-minded. He said, you ain't got any sense if you're a Christian. Right now, I know what kind of a person you are if you're a Christian. He said, Christians, weak, got to have a God to depend on them. And you can't even prove your God exists. And at that moment, religiously, you say it was righteous indignation rose up, but it was just anger. And I said to the guy, I can't prove to you that Jesus is real, but I know he's real. He said, how do you know he's real? And I said, well, because Jesus has worked in my heart and changed my life. Because if Jesus wouldn't have worked in my life like he had, I would use your face as a mop right now on that floor. And this guy, you know, I mean, it just kind of came out of me. You know, I didn't even think about it. And this guy just bowed up. He wasn't very big, and I wasn't too worried. And so he bowed up, swelled up like a big old toad, and got mad and said a bunch of foul words and went back in the bar. And I said, that's the end of him. And, man, he come out of that bar, and he had the biggest guy I've ever seen in my life. I mean, this guy was one of these 6'5", you know, 285-pound, not fat. I mean, this dude was big. And I was like, oh, God. And so I said, Lord, you got to get me out of this. I said, this is getting bad, and I'm too hard-headed to back down. And that guy is really big, Lord. And I said, this is not going to be pretty. You got to deliver me, Jesus, right here. So the guy comes up, and of course, he gets in my face and he tells me, he says, you know, what are you giving my friend a hard time? And I said, no, sir. I said, I was just sitting here minding my own business. And he came out and began to argue with me about that I was a Christian. He said, what? And he said, yeah, he doesn't believe in God. He doesn't believe in Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And I do. I'm a Christian. And he's arguing with me. And this guy's just standing there and he's towering over me. I just stayed in my chair. And I'm looking up at him, and he says, he turns to his friend and says, "You don't believe in God?" I just started smiling. It's like, thank you, Jesus. You're my partner, and you don't believe in God. I don't want to be a part of anybody that doesn't believe in God. And he just began to just rail on his friend. And I said, "Jesus, God, you're so awesome. Thank you for delivering me from this situation." Okay? As soon as you, in life, step out and profess what you believe, you're going to be challenged. Always. Always. How you know what you believe is true is what God is doing on the inside of you. And no one can take that from you. No one can take that from you. Amen? So church, you got to do some soul searching. You got to look down on the inside of you. What do you really believe? What's down in you? Because that is truly your level of faith, and that's what you're going to walk in. You want it to be greater, you got to add more word to it. Amen? Amen. Well, put your Bibles up. Ladies, can y'all bring the communion down? This is our first Sunday. We're going to have communion right now. Everyone is welcome to have communion with us. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're very welcome to have communion with us today. But church, I want to just challenge you at this moment. I don't know what adversities you're walking through. I don't know what trials have come upon you, but this I do know, that Jesus will take you through it. He'll get you to the other side, and you can walk in victory. Victory may not be exactly like you think. All right? But God answers prayers. I can guarantee you victory. But God answers prayer. He'll move in your life and do it. But if you don't have faith, you have to increase your word. You get the word on the inside of you, your faith is going to rise. Then you get to be like Elisha and be slapping down the mantle and saying, "Where's the Lord God of Elijah?" So right now, take just a moment. Let me have my pastoral team come down and so I can serve you, so you can help me serve everybody else. And the prayer team, whoever's helping me up here this morning. And start to look in your heart right now. Start to ask yourself right now, what am I believing? Where am I being challenged? And what am I going to do about it? And then you can come up here in just a minute and take communion. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe in the power of God. I believe in communion. I don't believe it's just bread and grape juice here. I believe with all of my heart that it's your faith connecting to what God's given us, and victory's yours. I believe in miracles this morning. You may have had a lie spoken to you all your life, and if you'll walk up here in a minute and say, "Lord, I'm sorry, I've been believing that lie. I didn't know I was a VIP. I didn't know I was special. I thought I was, you know, a little off." And I want to tell you something. God will set you free right here. You can walk away from here and walk in the victory that Jesus bought and paid for you. The Bible tells us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Now take and eat, for this is my body which was broken for you." Now I want to tell you something, church. Jesus went to the cross, took all the stripes upon himself, and was broken so you could be whole. So you could be whole. You may be brokenhearted today about a situation. Jesus will heal your heart if you'll just let him. Lord, we just thank you for what this bread is, what it means to us, Lord, that you made us whole. Then after that, he took the cup. And he said, "Now this cup is a new covenant in my blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." No one should leave this building today feeling guilty about any sin. That's why this cup's here for us. That's why His blood ran down that cross, so that we could be forgiven and walk in wholeness, walk in victory. Church, listen to me. It's called repentance. And repentance simply means you tell Him you're sorry and you turn. The moment you do that in faith, the blood of Jesus will cleanse your mind, cleanse your soul, and it will set you free. So, Lord, we thank You for this cup and for setting us free today. In Jesus' mighty name. It's the body of Christ broken for you. Body of Christ broken for you. Body of Christ broken for you. Body of Christ broken for you.